Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's episode, we have a news and notes roundup for you all. Thanks for joining us live this morning. If you're listening to us on YouTube, download and follow us wherever you get your podcast and subscribe to us on YouTube so that you never miss out when we go live. If you have questions for us, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your question and we will answer it during a mailbag segment. We're back. Had a little bit of a holiday break there. It's good to see you again. How you doing,
Lisa? It is so good to see you, bud.
Well, listen. We're going to wait for Lisa to get back, y'all, since I'm going to hop into the chat to see if you all on your end can tell me what the dealio is.
Hello.
The crew in the chat just told me that you went frozen a little bit, Lisa.
Sandra, I just lost Wi-Fi.
Listen. You know what? That's the universe.
That's like the beauty of working from home, right?
That's the beauty of working from home, but B, that's the universe. The universe is like, you know what? You went on holiday? Should stay on holiday. Don't come back.
Well, I'm back now. I have 5 bars. Like, that was literally the weirdest thing. It literally just said, like, internet, like, disconnected.
Shout out to the chat for letting me know. I was like, oh, let me, like, skedaddle on over to the chat and see what the folks are getting on their end.
Well, I'm glad to be back. Sorry if that happened
again.
What did
you do on Thanksgiving that the universe, aka Wi-Fi, didn't want me or the audience to know?
I mean, I did nothing nefarious, I promise you. Honestly, okay. I'm just like streaming a lot of soccer because I don't have cable. So all I do is stream all of the games. And I've been watching the World Cup and the Super League. And there's just been a lot happening. So it's been a lot of streaming. And maybe that's it. The internet was like, I'm done with you and all of your streaming properties. But no, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I'm thankful for you, Sandra. I'm thankful for everyone that listens to us and the people that join us live on YouTube. I'm thankful for Attacking Third. I'm thankful for football. Heck yeah, let's do it. How are you doing?
I'm right there with you. It was good to get to spend some time with family. This time of year is where it's like, hey, we've all got some similar days off. Let's try to make sure that we make them count, kind of thing. So it was cool to celebrate in that sense, where it was just like, hey, we're all in the same room and same place together. That happens kind of so rarely now, right? But it was very, very cool to do that. And of course, you know, pie. You know, big fan of pie. I know folks either like it or they don't. I enjoy pie. Hey.
Okay, so what kind of pie are we talking here? Like apple, pumpkin, you got that minced meat happening over there. What do you have?
Minced meat? We're Mexican, dude. I don't have minced meat pies over here, girl. No, I actually, you know what? I'm into pecan pie. Ooh. I'm not actually like, let me get a slice of that pumpkin, or let me get a, you know, I don't, I'm not anti those things. I think apple pie is great. I think pumpkin pie is great. Sweet potato is awesome. But I'm into pecan pie myself personally. So,
wow. Okay. I like it. That sounds delicious. I agree. I'm not really into the pumpkin flavored things at all. I'm a big apple pie gal.
I was going to say, if it's not apple, it's not. I think we had this debate when it came around. We were like team apple over team pumpkin. So I shouldn't be too surprised that dipped into our Thanksgiving palates as well. Gosh, that's so funny and possibly predictable if you listen to us all five. Oh my goodness. But look, this is maybe really the kickoff for a lot of different holidays for a lot of different.
So sorry. We have a shout out for SD Miller, an apple crisp pie. That's like a game changer when you get like the sweet crumbling on top. Yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff there, SD Miller. I like a crisp too.
Yeah, I dig a good crisp. Yeah. Apple crisp pie. So that's with the, when you have the crumble on top.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I have big, good energy there. I respect that for sure. Hopefully everybody has some, you know, is over the leftovers at this point. It's you're not through them at this point. I think you need to just count your blessings and say goodbye to the leftovers. I think if you've got leftovers still from a Thursday, they might be pushing, you know, their limit. So I think you need to just say goodbye, adios, thank you for your time and your service. And hopefully this kicks off a lot of different holiday celebrations for you, however you celebrate, in whichever respective way you celebrate. Enjoy the next following weeks coming up. I know we are, because not only are we keeping an eye on holiday calendars, we're also keeping an eye on soccer that's happening globally. And that's kind of what we're going to chat about a little bit on this episode. We're doing the news and notes roundup, but some of the roundup that we're doing is some of the cool stuff that's been happening globally, not just within the United States. So, but to kick things off, we are going to keep it focused on NWSL to start, because there is still free agency happening. We don't have a ton of news here though, Lisa. There's not enough. We thought maybe we'd get some splashier things once that deadline hit. And we obviously spoke a little bit about the Kelly O'Hara news from Spirit to Gotham, but who knows, maybe because of the international window, because of this holiday window, maybe some of those negotiations or conversations slowed down a little bit between players and respective clubs.
They were too busy eating pie to like make some trades.
Listen, I can't even judge them for that. I hope it was, what was it? Apple crisp?
Apple crisp, yeah.
I hope it was one of those. But we got some news, which is pretty, pretty cool. So let's talk about that. I think we're going to start and keep it with Gotham FC, because listen, this is the team that is delivering the goods. They are delivering the news. They are the crisp apple pie of the free agency right now. They're the ones that are dropping and making the moves and like giving us the news to talk about. So in the previous episode, before we took a little holiday break, we talked about them a lot, how they, you know, we had Ashton Harris announce her retirement, Kelly O'Hara making a public announcement. Now we get another bit of news. Gotham FC has signed goalkeeper Abby Smith to a 3-year deal. She's joining the club by way of Portland Thorns FC. And listen, this was one of those signings similar to O'Hara, where we say, listen, this is an experienced player that they're bringing in to a very important position. And while Michelle Betos is another one of those like very experienced goalkeeper when it comes to NWSL keepers in the league, and Handcuff is someone who is growing in the league, I'm looking at Abby Smith and I am begging Gotham to give her a shot at that starting position.
I honestly think she deserves it, right? Because when you look at where Gotham played last year between Betos and Harris, and honestly, even when we look back to last offseason when Racing Louisville let go of Michelle Betos and then Gotham picked her up, that was shocking to me. I was like, she's a Bedos is a fantastic goalkeeper. And then she went to Gotham, where she was frankly playing behind Ashlyn Harris. Now, Ashlyn Harris was dealing with a bit of injuries in this last year that she played of her professional career. So Bedos did see significant time. So now that it's really just Bedos and Abby Smith with experience there, there's also Handcuff at Gotham. That was a 2022 draft pick, Hensley Handcuff. With Abby Smith coming in, this adds depth and it adds a bit of experience. She's a 29 years old goalkeeper. She's been in the league for a long time. She's been with Boston Breakers and Utah Royals. So she's been with teams that don't even exist anymore, Kansas City, and then with Portland. But she only played in one match last year with Portland as the backup goalkeeper in the 2022 season behind Bella Bigsby, who had a fantastic season, but did get that some time away from Thorns. So Smith did get a couple minutes there, but I mean, this is a great move for Gotham. This Gotham, right? Like this is the team right now that's actually acquiring a lot of different things. They've gotten Juan Carlos Amoros as their head coach. They've gotten Kelly O'Hara. They had a huge announcement in Ashlyn Harris retiring. Like, so the news cycle has really been focused on Gotham. But the fact that they got this goalkeeper at Abby Smith, I'm very pleased for Abby. Happy that she's going to New York and Gotham. I'm pleased for Gotham. I think this is a great goalkeeper. But like, there are other teams that I'm like, hey, you guys need goalkeepers. You look at Washington Spirit, they have one goalkeeper listed on their roster. So like, those are the things I'm looking at and thinking about. I mean, constantly, I'm always like, well, why isn't this team talking about this? And we don't know those conversations or what's happening, but great get for Gotham and Smith. And I hope she gets minutes. I hope she gets a shout. And I think that this offseason and preseason could be a competitive race in the goalkeeper position at Gotham between Bedos and Abby Smith.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, listen, we hear all about how within this league, in American domestic women's football, how, you know, competition is good for the group, you know. Oh, yeah. Iron makes iron, you know, stronger. We hear all those, you know, typical kind of metaphors and things like that. But I think signing Smith just sort of bulks up that goalkeeping core. I think this is a player, you know, who, rest in peace to the Boston Breakers. But I remember, you know, Abby Smith getting, you know, being the starting goalkeeper for Boston Breakers and in back in 2016, and this was in light of, you know, them losing a pretty prolific goalkeeper and somebody like Alyssa Nayer. So there was a big trade that happened. So it was like, who's going to fill that hole? Because for a very, very long time, Boston Breakers was this kind of team where they would concede goals. They would struggle on, you know, in their defensive shape. You know, it would really, there would be a lot of games that would sort of turn into goalkeeper games, that would turn into a game that was coming to the goalkeeper. And if you were going to be in the post for Boston Breakers, you were probably going to face some shots. So, you know, to sort of see her go from team to team to team, knowing that she has that experience, it still hasn't been able to kind of break through and kind of regain a starting goalkeeping position in this league specifically, is both surprising and unsurprising, because at this point, look, there's only 12 teams in the league, right? So a starting goalkeeper position is very limited and few and far between. And there's a lot of great goalkeepers out there, and Abby Smith is one of those keepers. So I'm hopeful that the pool of goalkeepers that are in place for Gotham right now can sort of meld themselves into this kind of like goalkeeper by committee. Like I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we see different starts by different goalkeepers. I know that's maybe not something that a coach wants to do. You want to have stability in that position. But I think in light of a World Cup year, I think Gotham has a real opportunity here in which there's going to be good competition for that goalkeeping position. And whoever ultimately locks that role up, whoever wins that role coming out of preseason, is going to be that starting goalkeeper for Gotham.
Right. I mean, goalkeeping is one of the trickiest positions in football because obviously it's you're not a field player. Like, you are a goalkeeper. It's very specific to what you do, and we never see it rotated. Rarely do we see it rotated, especially mid-game. So it comes down to preseason. It comes down to your consistency. It comes down to all the little things you're doing. And the fact that Bedos has been at Gotham, I think that gives her a little bit of a leg up, but also new head coach coming in. So it's almost a clean slate for these goalkeepers to try to battle and win that starting position. Because if you're that goalkeeper that is not getting the starting role, I'm not even going to say number two, because so often it's, hey, yeah, they should both be starting at different teams. It's just, this is what we went with last week, and they're really starting to gel well with the defense, and they got a shutout last week. Like, let's keep going. So it's, if you don't break in at the beginning, it is incredibly hard to break in and get that, because yeah, that position isn't just rotated. I mean, like, this sounds elementary, but like, when you look at even a defender, even a center back, they can be subbed in the last 10, 15 minutes of a game, and then they get minutes, and then they get consistency. With goalkeeping, that doesn't happen. And once you start getting game minutes as a goalkeeper, your status is elevated compared to the other goalkeepers, just because you have that experience. It's the toughest position, honestly.
No, absolutely. And I think, like, Smith as a goalkeeper sort of shown, like, the type of routine that she can, you know, can put together, the type of, you know, work ethic that she has. I mean, coming out of the breakers, you know, sustaining a knee injury and having to rehab, you know, back to form and really doing that, you know, and winning that starting goalkeeper, you know, job for 2017. And then sort of rolling that over into Utah roles. That's the other thing too. Like, having been moved around at this point in your career and mm-hmm. as many different teams as you have been, and still like, you know, maintaining that level of professionalism, maintaining that routine as a pro athlete can be really, really difficult. I mean, you know, like, we've heard players, you know, coming out into this season as they finally negotiated their historic CBA, how, like, sometimes navigating your career as a pro in NWSL was really, really tough, like, not just physically, but also mentally. So when you're looking at some of these players and some of, you know, their journeys throughout the league, I think Abby Smith is one of these players that you look at and sort of can walk away impressed and saying that, like, listen, she's been with multiple teams, that she's been a starter. She's capable mm-hmm. of being a starter. She's shown that, but she's also been in areas where she's had to play a supporting role. And being asked to come in and step in off the bench is not an easy thing to do, especially if you're that goalkeeper. And we saw her do that with Portland on their championship run. And now she's going to get a different opportunity with Gotham. So I'm excited to see sort of how this pans out for the New York, New Jersey side here. We'll see. It's something we'll keep an eye on for sure. I think as preseason gets closer.
Yeah, and, for sure. We'll for sure.
We'll get a little bit of like a probably a better idea closer to right. who's winning that goalkeeping position. But listen, it's not just Gotham. You know, they're making some of the biggest headline type of moves right now, but other clubs are still in the process of trying to negotiate some of these deals with their free agents who still have ties to their club. For example, with San Diego Wave FC, they and Mackenzie Daniak have agreed to go ahead and exercise an option, and Mackenzie Daniak will be returning with the Wave. But they also announced that they've re-signed Kaylee Kurtz to a 2-year mm-hmm. deal. So, look, we've got another team to talk about here besides Gotham.
I know. I like this. It's a lot of, honestly, Gotham is the one that's changing things, but a lot of other clubs have come out with announcements that they're re-signing or they're exercising options. I love the one for Mackenzie Daniak. This is a forward that came in and 3 goals, 2 assists. She was a game changer for this San Diego side coming in and playing off the bench. So she'll be with San Diego until the 2023 season. And then Kaylee Real coming in for San Diego for the 2024 season, re-signing that. So that's really great to see. But otherwise, like Ali Watt re-signing with Orlando Pride, CeCe Kaiser staying with Current for a two-year deal through the 2024 season. Morgan Weaver staying with Portland Thorns through 2024. Yuki Nagasato, Aaron Wright with Chicago, staying on for a 1 year for Nagasato, 2 year for Aaron Wright. I think that Sam Coffey is a big name that a lot of people know. Yep. She was Rookie of the Year finalist. She made her way onto the U.S. Women's National Team as a defensive middie. The 23-year-old, she was a rookie last year. She has signed a contract extension with Portland Thorns through the 2025 season. So Portland doesn't want to let that player go. They know she's going to be a big-time player for club and country. So I that was one that I highlighted and circled on was Sam Coffey. But like Sam Hyatt with O.L. Rain staying there, there's just been a lot of re-signs and re-uppings. I think Sam Coffey was one of the bigger ones that I saw.
There's absolutely been off-season news. I think with the introduction of something like free agency, I think folks were trying to brace themselves for a potentially kind of like, you know, breaking news, kind of like really first of its kind type of groundbreaking era in NWSL. And that just kind of hasn't quite happened yet. We'll just say yet. But there has been, like you said, a lot of other kind of, you know, options that are being extended to players. And those players obviously taking a look at those options and seeing if that's the best one for them. And I think probably Sam Coffey is probably that biggest one. I think after that breakout rookie season, if you're Portland Thorns, you absolutely are trying to make sure that you're still building and growing with this young player. So that was very, very cool to see. But we're keeping an eye on everything as usual. And hopefully the next time we get together and maybe try to take a closer look at free agency, we'll have some different and additional news to talk about with everyone on the show. But for now, we're going to pivot to more news and more notes, but we're going to take a little trip across the globe to talk about some different things that have been happening in the world of women's soccer. And we're going to do that right after a quick break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
We are back. We want to talk about all of the soccer, and we're going to do it right now. We wanted to revisit some things just in case you might have missed it. The Liga MX Femenil Championship took place a couple weeks ago, and with all the chaotic things happening across the world in terms of the news that we always try to keep up with, it's something that got pushed back and that we weren't able to get a lot of time to discuss. So we actually wanted to bring it up on the News and Notes episode to give it a little love because I really enjoy watching Liga MX Femenil. And listen, maybe this isn't breaking news to you all out there because Tigres Femenil won their fifth championship title. And you like it. I love it. This is a franchise that has just been constantly in the conversation in terms of like a winning culture, really since they've, you know, began Liga MX Femenil back in, you know, 2016, 2017. So to sort of see this club rack up five titles is very, it's very, very big deal because at this point in the history of Liga MX Femenil, for people who don't know, it's a year-long season broken up into two parts. So at this point, there's a potential 10 titles that were out there for grabs. And Tigres Femenil has five of them now. So I think for me, what was really exciting about this particular title for Tigres Femenil is as Liga MX Femenil has grown in various ways, you know, we're talking about a league that got founded specifically to cultivate and be a place for Mexican players and to sort of grow and nurture and develop Mexican players. It's evolved in these more recent years where you can now have more older players on the pitch. You can have foreign-born players on the pitch where at one point that was not the case. Yep. And I am delighted by that because within this championship title run for Tigres Femenil, we got to see Mi Official really step it up really throughout the entire postseason for this team. And she is walking away a champion of Liga MX Femenil and as the Golden Boot winner. Yeah. It was delightful to watch.
It was really, I mean, this league is really fun to watch. And it's no surprise that Tigres won as they are a powerhouse in this league. But I think watching Mi Official was actually incredibly entertaining because this is a player that graduated from UCLA, got drafted in the NWSL draft and chose to decline that and go to Mexico to play and to then just have a breakout season there in Mexico and really proving that the best players in the world get to choose where they want to go and choose where they want to play. And for that, I'm really happy that she got to do that because she ends up winning a championship in Liga MX Femenil. But I think that something else really cool about this championship, Sandra, that this women's match had more in attendance than the men's match in Mexico. It was 52,654 fans in attendance at this final. For the men's, they only had 48,000. So this is also huge, right? Like we talk about growing the global game and even growing this league in Mexico and players being drafted in the NWSL and going to play in Mexico and doing that. But it's growing with the fans as well. And that's something it's fantastic. It gives me chills because this is how it should be. The game is better when women play it because it's just different and I like it. Oh gosh, it gets me fired up.
No, I love like listening to you like post up the attendance numbers. It's very special. You know, I think like that's been like, that's something I think that's really been a focal point in 2022. I think, you know, professional sports in general, kind of coming off of the last couple of years or so in which we've had to navigate some real highs and some real lows of a global pandemic. And we've seen these stadiums with nobody in them, you know, at one point. And then to be where we are now in 2022, it's just incredibly special because we're able to go across the globe and sort of point at various events, various tournaments and say, look at this number here. Look at this number there. Look at the attendance at this match or look at the attendance at that game.
Yeah.
And it's been everywhere. So we could say that it's been, you know, NWSL was talking a lot about those numbers, right? Hitting the million attendance mark, you know, throughout 2022, where a million people across different NWSL markets said, hey, we want to go through those turnstiles and go to games. That was something that we were celebrating during the NWSL championship. Yep. And then, you know, we're looking at games, you know, whether it was for the Euros or whether it was, you know, the Liga MX Femenil Championship that you were talking about, that there's all these different really, really massive numbers that we can kind of point to and say this was something very, very special that was accomplished in 2022. And I think there's you're always going to have your, you know, your peanut gallery, you know, the people who are like, why are you like, who cares about like the numbers and why you keep pushing that, you know? And to that I say, like, you know, keep your sourpuss over there. Yeah. We're trying to grow something cool, you know, over here and talk about that. But just, yeah, incredibly, incredibly special. So it's just like including in those numbers, it's not just like the fans that are like, you know, buying the ticket and going to their seat, but that's very, very important, right? You know, that's really where you want to see people. You want to see them in the stands. But this is one of the matches that was one of the most watched finals in just the history of North America alone. So like there's two legs to a Liga MX championship final. So you have to not just try to win once, but twice kind of in a way. And nearly 3 million people watched virtually, depending on the type of stream they were watching on. So whether it was on like channels in Mexico or, you know, different impressions on Facebook, because Tigres is very good about putting their games on Facebook, they wrecked. Yeah. Like 2.8 million in terms of total views, like just on various streams. So it was very exciting to see all of those numbers drop. I love that you brought them, you know, up now in regards to this game. And that in itself, like almost feels like a different kind of victory. Like, yes, Tigres Femenil, like went out there and they did the thing, right? They won the championship, but this is like one of those things where, that can be something that is celebrated by everyone. So I you like it. I love it. We'll see what happens with Tigres Femenil in the upcoming season. Again, everybody's taking their holiday break. So the Apertura will probably start soon. And we will probably keep an eye on that. And we'll obviously keep an eye on Mia Fischel as well, right? We always want to see what she's up to. But let's pivot. Let's take another trip to England. Let's go from Mexico to England. Let's talk a little bit about Women's Super League. Unfortunately, we've got some injuries to chat about when it comes to Super League. Probably most recently, we have Prino Harder with a hamstring injury that she's been nursing. Chelsea midfielder, we're gonna have to keep an eye on that. I think there's this, we've been talking about it a lot, Lisa, there's a window of time right now that's still lengthy but still very short. It's 8 months out to the World Cup, and there are players who, you know, we're going to keep an eye on, and when injury news is coming down the pipeline, depending on the severity of that injury, kind of hold your breath a little bit. So I think with a nagging injury like a hamstring, those are always so tricky because they can kind of be really tight or be really great, you're right, you know, in the following week. So that's something that we have to keep about. But hamstring injury is maybe different from an ACL injury. And we got news of a pretty big ACL injury fairly recently as well.
Yeah, super, honestly, sad. I'm going to say sad. Beth Mead, Arsenal forward, English international forward. She was the runner-up in the Ballon d'Or in 2022. She has torn her ACL. And Sandra, when you talk about the window of opportunity here before the World Cup, it's this is a player that not just England, but I think the world is looking at in Beth Mead, because the fact that she tore her ACL, right, you have to determine when she can get surgery, when she can get back, and look at that timeline. And with 8 months to the World Cup, that is, it's a really tight window. The question of if Beth Mead will be able to play for England in the World Cup is a huge question mark right now. It's devastating to see this from a player. When you look at Arsenal, their entire roster now is depleted due to injuries, and it's affecting them a bit, right, in their play and what they're able to do. But this was just honestly the cherry on top of all of those injuries with Beth Mead. I feel just gutted for her because it's so rough. It's devastating. I want no one to ever tear their ACL, especially a player like this. It's coming off of a great summer with England. That's playing with Arsenal, going to do great things in the Champions League and the Super League, and is looking ahead to a World Cup. It's devastating. Yeah.
And I was going to say, and like definitely not this close to a World Cup. It's such a curious window, right? To have a player of this caliber who means so much to not just her club team in Arsenal, but obviously England as well, and the run that they went on. But the type of injury that it is with an ACL and the window of 8 months in front of you, it's such a curious time because it's like there's such a big question mark around it. It's like, you know, will she or won't she kind of thing. And I think for now, you know, has about as best of a perspective on it as mm-hmm. she can, just saying like, hey, that she's thankful for all of the best wishes and she is going to focus on her rehab for this ACL. And I think if you're a pro athlete and if there's a chance, you're going to try to take that chance. But it will all depends on everybody's body is different, you know?
Right. And it's a day by day thing. You can only take it day by day post-surgery, like how you're feeling, how your body's feeling, how your PT is doing. I mean, I'm so gutted for her, for Beth Mead, for England, for English fans, I'm sad. I love watching this player play, but yeah, it's a day by day thing. I'm not saying anything yet. We'll see in 5 months, 6 months where she's at in her recovery.
Absolutely. Arsenal has dropped a game, you know, in light of sort of all the different things that have been happening, you know, with their roster. Let's talk a little bit about the standings because we had Women's Super League kick off. And you can, of course, just a reminder for everyone, in case you don't know, there are some games that you can watch across various platforms like Paramount Plus or CBS Sports. And I know this week coming up, there is one game on Sunday. But at this point in the season, everyone has played at least six matches. Mm-hmm. It's a little up and down. Some have played eight, some have played seven, but there have been at least six matches played. Tottenham, the only team I believe right now with only six games in their season to date. But part of that is due to the fact that they were supposed to have a game against Everton and it got postponed.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago, that game postponed for Tottenham. But otherwise, like looking across the board in terms of standing wise, like Chelsea's still at the top. They've been undefeated since that opening match loss. So they're 7-1 in the Super League. It's not at all surprising, right? We talked about this. The disparity in the Women's Super League is that there are top teams and then there are bottom table teams. And it kind of stays that way. It's those middle teams that are a little bit more interesting, I think, to watch because you never know what's going to happen with them. Tottenham being one of those teams, right, sitting right in the middle of the table at this point at seven, but they've only played six matches. We touched on Arsenal a little bit with, of course, Beth Mead now being injured, but they're coming off their first loss of the season to Manchester United, and that was a high-scoring game. If soccer fans right now, the only domestic soccer league happening is the Women's Super League. Go watch it because everyone's watching the World Cup, as you should be, but cheering for USA, let's go. But if you're looking for other games to watch, you should be watching the Super League because it's on right now. We've had three incredible weeks during this World Cup run of football to watch. And Arsenal against Man United was a really good game. It was United 1-0 at halftime at this point, and Arsenal was up there. They were doing it. They end up getting another goal early, like first couple seconds of the second half, and then the late game winner from Russo at the end of the match for Manchester United, and that's how Arsenal ends up taking their first loss. But Man United, like they're coming off Chelsea 3-1. Like there's a lot happening there for this Manchester United team. And those are Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United, the top three teams in this Super League. And they are incredibly exciting to watch.
I like that it's still sort of that, you know, still kind of that like early phase of the season. It's a long season, y'all. Like this is going to, it's going to run through 2023. But I like that there's still these early phases where there is some level of unpredictability within some of these games. And just to sort of rattle off the standings so folks sort of know who is landing where. Yes, it is Chelsea on top of the standings at number one, Arsenal in second place, Manchester United in third, and Manchester City in fourth place. In fifth place is Aston Villa, 6 West Ham, 7 Tottenham, 8 is Everton, 9 is Brighton and Hove Albion. And we've got number 10 with Liverpool, 11 Reading, and 12 is Leicester City. So when it's funny when you look at these standings and you also take a look at their records as well, because you see the wave of green sort of transform to the wave of red in terms of wins and losses. But like I said, it's still sort of that early stretches of the season. Maybe, you know, maybe there will be a team, you know, like in Aston Villa that can go on a run. They have sort of turned the tide a little bit, sort of after having kind of a 3-game skid, kind of find themselves now on a 2-game streak. So it's something to keep an eye on. I think once you kind of start, when you approach those like double digit kind of games, I'm going to be curious to see where some of these teams are at once they've kind of hit maybe 12 matches, you know, versus, you know, 6 for some of them moving on. But I'm also taking a look at who's, you know, kind of impressive in the stats category. Listen, I love CONCACAF supremacy. I'm here for it. We got a shout out Khadija Bunny Shaw.
Yes.
With Manchester United so far. I want to continue to see all of that goal scoring supremacy for her. Hope that she can maintain that for Man City and they continue to make a run. Not necessarily CONCACAF times, but someone who did play in NWSL for a very, very long time. Rachel Daly also with 8 goals as well. So I think it's kind of cool that these two players are kind of getting an early start and chasing after that goal. Golden Boot in the Women's Super League. Not a ton of action coming up this weekend, though. There is going to be one game that takes place on Sunday, December the 4th on Paramount Plus. So that is the game that you can watch on Paramount Plus this weekend. Make sure you tune in bright and early at 7:30 Eastern. So get your favorite morning brew and turn on Paramount Plus and take a look at Ready for Tottenham. Listen, Tottenham has had some time off. You want to make a pick in this one, Lisa?
Yeah, I like this match. Honestly, I said it a little bit earlier when we started talking about that. This and the Super League, the middle of the table is incredibly fun to watch. Yeah, an Arsenal Man United game is going to be entertaining and exciting, but watch these middle of the table games like this one for Tottenham versus Reading. Reading on a bit of a skid. They did get their one and only win about 4 matches ago, but since then, 2 losses and a tie. They're struggling at this point. Tottenham, they've been pretty hot and cold this year, and they've played the least amount of games in the Super League up until this point. We talked about it. Only 6 matches played, and they're coming off of a loss. I think they're going to get back in the win column against Reading, take their 3-3 record of 500 and up that a little bit so they go 4 wins, 3 losses. But yeah, I have Hotspurs in this one. Sandra, what about you?
I'm with you. I think it'll be a fun and eventful game, though. I think, you know, Reading is one of those kind of sleeper teams that can kind of surprise you. We saw that they can score some goals. There was only one game that took place on November the 24th, and it was a 3-3 shootout with Reading versus Liverpool. So we'll see if they can kind of keep up that type of production against Tottenham. I don't know if they will. I think Tottenham has a little bit of a better defensive shape, you know, and I'm going to go with this with Spurs as well. So come on, you Spurs. Let's see if you can prove us right in our pick here. Make sure you tune in on Paramount Plus on December 4th for that one. To close things out, let's chat a little bit about Women's Champions League match day 3, Chelsea and Barcelona, 2 teams to advance, best records, 3-0 right now, but there are still 6 teams who are undefeated.
Yeah, love to see that. Love to talk about that because undefeated teams, of course, Chelsea and Barcelona, they have best records in Champions League, 3-0 at this point. And then Wolfsburg, Roma, Juventus, and Arsenal are also teams that are undefeated. But Champions League has been also incredibly entertaining. We're now at week 3, right? So there's not much left to play. There's a lot on the lines for these teams. And the fact that Barcelona and Chelsea are still undefeated in this one is actually incredibly impressive, especially when you look at the last match Barcelona just played. It was at Camp Nou against Bayern Munich, and it was a dominant win for Barcelona, 3-0 over Bayern. So, I mean, this is fun. Like, I'm just loving watching this, the different styles of play that we're getting to see. Wolfsburg, they also just dropped their very first point of the year because they are one in their domestic league. They're number one in the Fraulein Bundesliga, but 8-0 in their domestic league. They're now unbeaten in 19 games still. They're coming off of a draw, Wolfsburg. They're still one of the undefeated teams. So this is another team that's keep your eye on, keep them circled, right? Like the Barcelona, the Chelsea, but I'm very intrigued to keep watching Wolfsburg, especially in the Champions League.
We'll keep an eye on it because next week is when more of these games will pop up. So make sure you're tuning in on Wednesday, December 7th and Thursday, December 8th. It's going to be a continuation of the group stage. We're going to get to see more of these teams go head to head and probably start to get a little bit of a better picture more than we already do in terms of some of these actual groups.
Yeah, even PSG, right? Paris getting their very first win this past weekend. It's about time for them. That's what I'm going to say. 5-0. They get very, very commanding win, but their first in the Champions League. So plenty to watch for, plenty to play for. So stay tuned in on Champions League for sure.
I love it. You like it. I love it. That's all we got for you all today. Thank you all so much for joining us this morning and listening to Attacking Third. Download, follow, and listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. You can watch us too. Subscribe on YouTube to get alerts for whenever we go live at youtube.com/attackingthird. Reminder that if you have questions for us, whether it's about free agency, a wish list team, NWSL, anything across the globe, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your question, and we'll answer it during a mailbag segment. We will be back with so much more. For Sandra Rivera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.